And you have to have that faith and belief. And it's very hard to lose one of your children that you've been so close with, that you gave life to, that you've supported, that you've loved. They've been there for you. Our son was 43 when he was killed. And so you just have to know that if you'll just trust God through it and pick yourself up, you'll get down, but you need to be able to pick yourself up and move forward, and everything will be okay.
Welcome to the Ken Brailsford Podcast. In this episode, we explore what makes Ken who he is at the very core. I'm Casey Moss, and in this second interview, Ken and I sit down and dive into his beginnings as an entrepreneur, the role that his family, and especially his wife, Linda, play in his life, how losing a son impacted him, lessons learned from a failed company, how he came to know God, habits, hobbies, and most especially his newest passion, movies, advice that he would give to beginning entrepreneurs, and so much more. So sit back and enjoy this next interview with Ken Brailsford. Well, Ken, it's good to sit down again with you and talk a little bit more about your life.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Okay. Well, good. Well, what I want to do is dig into a little bit more of what makes you who you are and really how it is that you became the entrepreneur that you are. Because I think that everyone that knows anything about you, they realize that you are the consummate entrepreneur.
Well, I've been accused of that, and I guess I am. And I think I've always been an entrepreneur. I may not have even been able to pronounce that word when I was young, or even know what it meant.
It may not have even existed before.
It might be a new word. I'm getting older, so it could have very well been a new word.
Okay. Well, what were the beginnings of your entrepreneurship? Even going back to when you were a kid, I think that there's some of us, we kind of joke that you play Monopoly in real life. And you liked Monopoly as a kid. You want to tell me more about that?
Well, I actually had three games that I liked the most. Monopoly was one of them. And being an only child, my parents didn't have any other children, so I had a lot of time to spend by myself, and I gravitated to board games, Monopoly being one of them, and another game called Easy Money that I played. And there's, of course, six positions there. Being an only child, I had to play all six positions, and I picked which one I would be. And
you didn't have to argue with yourself about that, right?
I didn't have to argue about with myself, and I had an easy time negotiating, perhaps. But I tried to play them fair, as if I'd want the other pieces to have an equal chance. For some reason, I always won the game.
I don't know how that happened.
Even when I played friends and cousins and others later as a teenager, I always won too. I can't ever remember losing a Monopoly game.
Yeah. You almost lost to your grandson a little while ago, didn't you?
He was a tough competitor a few years ago, but I beat him. And I wasn't for a while. I was wondering if he was going to beat me, but in the end, I beat.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got a perfect record still.
Yeah, it's a perfect record. He almost took it from me.
So how did that shape you? Playing Monopoly and that experience of playing by yourself and taking on all those different roles, what did that game teach you?
I think it taught me probability, because in the game of Monopoly, there are certain properties that for some reason people don't land on them as well or as often. And you've got a big price to pay for the hotel, to get a hotel on there. And even the first two, Mediterranean Avenue and Baltic Avenue, never seem to be landed on very often, and they were cheap to get hotels. So a cheap hotel doesn't always mean it'll be the most profitable. And again, in real estate, it's always the location that's important. And so it taught me principles about what are the odds and against the cost. The cost has got to, your reward potential's got to be so large compared to the risk that the money you put down is a risk. So it taught me all those principles that I've used later in life, especially with real estate and business going through life. So it was became an integral part of my entrepreneurship and training as a young kid.
Okay. All right. So we talked a little bit about your
journey in the network marketing arena, but there's a bigger story, because that's not the only arena that you invested in that you've been an entrepreneur in.
I've always thought about business. There's something in my brain that makes me think about business in relation to almost everything. Is this profitable? Can you make money with it? And I've had some conscious thoughts even about some real estate that I've made purchases that I knew I'd lose money on, but I just wanted that house or something, and I didn't care if I lost a little bit. This was later in life when I had plenty of money I could lose, but not when I was younger. So I've always thought about odds of risk and reward, but then you have to throw in how bad do I want it, knowing that it's not the best deal. I just purchased some real estate a couple of days ago, and I ended up with a 24% discount off the asking price. And the asking price didn't seem to be out of line too much, but I always look at that and what are going to be the odds of making money on it. In this particular real estate transaction, it looks like holding it 2 or 3, 4 years maybe, or building on it, will give me a very good return. So, you know, I'm willing to wait too. You have to have patience in a lot of things.
So if that deal hadn't gone through, how easy would that have been for you to just walk away?
I'm always ready to walk away from a deal. You can't fall in love with deals or you're going to make mistakes. And because there's always deals out there, whether it's real estate or businesses or whatever, there's deals. And you've got to be willing to walk away. You cannot fall in love with businesses or with property if you unless you want to live there, perhaps. And that's not even wise, although I've done that 2 or 3 times.
I was going to say, has that always been the case with you? Have you always been able to stay detached emotionally? Or
I'm always detached. It probably goes back to the Monopoly game. So I was always detached. You know,
you were going to win no matter what, right?
Yeah, you take the best hand you can take and play it to the best of your ability. You'll never be 100% winner. I mean, I haven't, in businesses I've bought, there's been some that I've bought incorrectly. They've been expensive. It's been an expensive education in some cases, but I've been willing to learn and step away and move on and just do better next time. You can't be afraid of failure. If you're afraid of failure, you'll never do anything, and you will be a failure. So you just move forward, do the best you can, and be as careful as you can. And you can, in the end, if you got correct virtues and principles and everything, you should come out decent.
Okay. So talk about your family and the role that your family plays in your life, and especially Linda. People who don't know Linda, she's one of the most amazing human beings that I've ever known. But I want you to talk a little bit about her impact on your life, and also the rest of your family.
You've got to have a companion that believes in you if you're looking at businesses and properties and things and taking risks. I couldn't have married a better woman from being a support for me throughout life. And whatever I did, she was always there and supported me and believed, had 100% faith or belief that I would prevail in the end and be able to take care of our family, even though I was putting money at risk, even when I didn't have a lot when I was very young. So you've got to have a good companion that will support you. Now, she very seldom and rarely would question what I was doing. She just knew I was taking care of business and I'd be okay and be able to support the family. And that's extremely important.
How'd you guys meet?
Well, we met at a church program. I'd gone on a mission for the Mormon church and came back. And after your mission, you're a young man. I was 22 and looking for a companion that I could marry and be with for my whole life and beyond this life. And after I taught a class to these young people in the church, and I didn't know my wife prior to that, and she came up and introduced herself, and that's all it took. And 6 months later, 7 months later, we were married.
Okay. So how many kids do you have?
Had 6 children. One is not with us anymore. He was killed in a car accident about 6 years ago. And even that's a learning experience, as you lose children that are supposed to be alive when you go. And that's very difficult for anybody. But again, you have to move on and trust in God that everything's the right way and being done the right way, and that he's in charge. If you have that faith and belief, you can prevail through anything ultimately.
Well, actually, I want to go back to that, if you don't mind. But what would you say to somebody who's lost a loved one and there's that struggle with missing them, with the tragedy, with what would you say to help them get through that?
Well, I would say, number one, don't blame it on God. You've got to have faith that the right thing perhaps is occurred, even though we don't understand the big picture. We don't see things as God does, who has all knowledge, past, present, and future. He knows what's best for us and what's best for that child in this case. And you have to have that faith and belief. And it's very hard to lose one of your children that you've been so close with, that you gave life to, that you've supported, that you've loved. They've been there for you. Our son was 43 when he was killed. And so you just have to know that if you'll just trust God through it and pick yourself up, you'll get down, but you need to be able to pick yourself up, move forward, and everything will be okay. And that's the way you have to look at every setback in life, because you get them thrown at you. You'll never go through life without challenges and problems. And so you pick yourself up and you move forward and you become a better person because of it.
So you've had some challenges in your life, though, as far as business and personal as well. How have you made it through, some of those challenges that you've encountered?
The same way that I just said. You just pick yourself up and move forward. Some of my businesses didn't make it. I had a book publishing business that I had bought. I made a mistake buying it the way I bought it. I learned from that. And I bought it. It was a company that was losing money. I basically stepped in and started to put money into it and turn it around. I trained the people on how to make it into a real business. We were having fewer and fewer losses. And then all of a sudden, the e-books came along. And in 1 year, they took about half of the market. And we weren't fully prepared for it. We were moving in that direction, but it happened faster than I thought. And I could see that it was going to be a long haul at best. And I made a decision. I had to shut it down, which I did. I hated it because several good people lost their jobs. They were wonderful people and they were friends. But sometimes you make the hard decisions knowing that that's the right decision. I could have taken out bankruptcy, walked away in that business from about $50,000, $60,000 in payables. I didn't. I paid every penny off and never filed bankruptcy for the company. Didn't have to, didn't want to. I don't like to do that. And I think that strengthens us too when we always pay our debts. If we've incurred them, we pay them.
Okay. Well, you touched on a point about spirituality and about your faith in God. And that's been a big theme in your life. You want to talk about that?
Well, I learned very early in my life that God was real. Had a very personal experience with God.
What was that?
I don't want to tell all the details, but I had a Sunday school class. I don't know how old I was, 7 or 8, maybe 9. I know I wasn't older than 9. And the Sunday school teacher told an experience that happened, and I questioned it. And I questioned whether God was really alive. And as I walked home from church that day, I said a silent prayer to myself, to God, and said, if you're really there today, I have to come to know you today. If I don't come to know you today or don't know that you exist, I'm never going to church again. And people, and my parents especially, would say if they were alive, I'm kind of stubborn that way. When I make up my mind, if it's a firm decision, I'm very firm. And I just know, looking back at my youthful mind at that time, remembering this very clearly, if I had not come to know that God lived, I'd never have gone back to church. But I went home. I had a very personal experience and came to know God that day in a very real way and know that he exists. Never doubted that since, no matter what challenges I've been put through in life. I know he loves us, and I know he wants the best for us. So even though it may not at times look like the best, it is the best in the end. So that's how I came to know God. And I was very young, so I didn't think about it a lot after that for a few years. And as a teenager, I had somebody in the church gave me a book to read. It was called The First 2,000 Years. And I read about Adam through Noah and their lives out of the scriptures. And I came to really want to be like those particular, they were called patriarchs, head of their families. I wanted to be like them. So I read after that, it refreshed my memory of my experience with God, and I started to read every church book, religious book I could get my hands on until I was about 19 and went on a mission for our church. And so those experiences shaped my life from a religious standpoint. I've told my own grandchildren many times, if you want to be successful, you have to do what God wants first. You keep his commandments, you come to know him and live by what he wants you to do. If you'll do that, you can be successful in life. And I've told them, I wouldn't have anything that I have today if it wasn't for God. He gave me everything, so I have to thank him for that and be grateful. But I also know that many of these things would not have come my way if I had not put him first in my life.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. So what are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
Yeah. I get asked that a lot. I don't have hobbies unless you call reading hobbies.
That's a big one.
Businesses. I mean, I play Monopoly on a big scale, and that's where I derive fun. I'm past retirement age. All my family says I need to retire, and I just tell them the day I retire is the day I start to die. And I don't like to retire. Just like as a teenager playing Monopoly, you always know the game comes to an end at some point, but I would drag them on as long as I could drag them on because I didn't want them to end. And that's kind of like business on the big scale now. I don't want it to end, and I enjoy it. It keeps me alive and young. And so I figure I'll be doing business deals until I drop dead. And then I'll want to pick up on the other side probably and start going again. So that's kind of my life in a nutshell. I love business. I love reading. Occasionally I'll read fiction books. It's kind of just like a quick break. I read one in the last couple of days, enjoyed it. But generally I don't read things like that. I read the scriptures. I read religious books. I like history books as well, too, sometimes. I have to be in the right mood, depending. And then when I'm in the right mood, I'll read things. I'd like to read more, but my time's very consumed. And between church work and family and business, I don't have as much time to read as I would like to at times.
Okay. Well, you've got another hobby, and there's a little bit of attention going on about it right now, and that you like movies. You like movies so much that you've gotten into making movies.
Yeah, I've made two movies, it's an interesting field. I got to where I liked movies when I was back about the age I learned about God, because every Saturday my mother had to work. My dad was going to college, University of Utah, getting his PhD. They'd give me 30 cents and send me down to find a movie that I could pay 25 cents admission and 5 cents for a box of dots and watch the movie every Saturday. That kind of was my babysitter for 2 or 3 hours. Well, generally back then they were double features, so probably like 4 hours I'd be watching a movie before I'd head for home. You could do that back then, a little kid like me. You could go off by yourself. You couldn't do it today. There's too many bad guys out there. But back then you could. And that's where I gained my love for movies. I didn't get to see a lot as we moved to California. I didn't drive for a long time until I was 16, and movies were too far away from our home. But I always loved them. Many years ago in one of my business ventures, I was looking to get into the movie-making business and went as far as looking for a script. Didn't get that far. And then a few years ago, I got back where I had enough money, and it takes a lot of money to self-produce a movie. I produced Christmas Eve first, and then we produced a movie called The Stray, which will be released this fall, October 6th, and had a good time doing that. Whether I do it again depends on whether it covers my cost of making those movies.
So you need people to go watch the movie, right?
Yeah, everybody go watch the movie so I can get my investment back. I don't expect to make anything, but I'd like to get my investment back. And if I do it, does well enough, I might do a third movie. But I don't know. I haven't crossed that bridge yet because it's a cross between a hobby and business. The business side doesn't look too good. The hobby side I love, but in the end, the business side will probably win out.
Okay. Well, but there's a theme to these movies. So kind of the back end of it, there's you're not producing movies with a lot of sex and violence and drugs and those kinds of influences.
No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in corrupting the morals of our youth. I think they've got to be uplifting or at least entertaining, and not have things in there that you wouldn't be happy to sit next to your pastor or bishop or somebody and watch, that would embarrass you. I don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't want it to hurt other people. So they have to be entertaining, uplifting. Second movie, The Stray, is about an animal that saves the life of a family, both spiritually and physically. And you just got to see it. It's an absolutely true story. It was filmed as close to actually the events and how they happened as you can do when you're doing a movie. And you'll be uplifted when you come out. So you take everybody and your kids included. It's a very family friendly movie, and enjoy it, be uplifted and feel good and learn from it after you've seen it.
Okay. You know, you are definitely a businessman at the core, but that's not always what your driving force is. There are some other things that are behind the scenes of why you're doing what you're doing.
It's never about the money per se. You have to have the money to be able to do things, but it's about uplifting people and making them better and providing jobs and growing something, creating something. I've started a lot of businesses from scratch. I've bought one out of bankruptcy to save 29 jobs and an iconic architectural structure that's been there for over 100 years. That's Lehigh Roller Mills. I've bought one, got involved in one that was going into bankruptcy to save it, and if possible. And so you can't look at the money first. Let me put it this way. You have to look at the money. Will this business pay for itself and be profitable in the end? If it won't, you still can't do it. You can't throw money away. I don't believe God wants you to do that. You've got to be a steward of what he gives you, and money's one of the things. But then you have to really focus on, do I have the right people? Are the people ones that I can help save their jobs? They'll be able to run the business going forward under your direction. And so if you look at the people first, and it has a product that's going to benefit people's lives, whether it's a nutritional product or a food product like Lehigh Roller Mills, or it's even like Alpine Air, which is a cargo airline that I own that hauls packages all over the United States for UPS and Postal Service. And we've probably got about 15%. We're carrying 15% of the packages. We're a feeder airline for them throughout the country. And that is maybe some of your UPS packages you're receiving are actually on one of my airplanes. So it's an interesting thought. Everything connects together in the end.
Wow. Okay. So let's go back to entrepreneurs and maybe some of your advice for other people who are thinking about being entrepreneurs, people that are involved with any of the organizations that you're involved with right now that are independent entrepreneurs. But what are some of the maybe the top three or four or five traits that you think are absolutely critical to be a successful entrepreneur? Not an employee, but an entrepreneur.
Well, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it means you're going to invest money. And I had an individual in our church that said, well, how do I make some money? And I said to him, unfortunately, I said, you've got to have some money to be able to make money. So you've got to be able to save money until you've got enough to risk for your business. And again, you look at risk reward. If you know how to look at risk rewards and you just narrow it down, take the best rewarded ones for the amount of money that you have to invest, you're more likely to be able to succeed. And you've got to have a lot of patience. It's not, you don't start a business one day and then a month later start taking money out of it to buy a new car. I'll give you an example. I had a restaurant once. I ended up with it because I had loaned the owner of it some money and he couldn't pay me back, and so he gave me his business. And we made it very profitable from day one, and I was doing very well, but I got tired of it because I wanted to do other things that took more attention than I wanted to have, because I've always owned, generally always owned multiple businesses. And so I sold it. I sold it to the manager of the business. I gave him, I mean, the business at that time was making me $8,000 a month. I didn't have to do anything. And I gave it to him. He just had to pay me back my investment into it over a certain period of time, and no down payment or anything. That was probably the mistake I made. And within a week, he had gone out and bought himself an expensive pickup truck. And he was paying for it out of the till of the business. And as soon as I saw that he did that, I knew he was going to lose the business, which he did. It didn't take him long to bankrupt the business, because you don't spend money. You're the last to be paid, not the first. He had that backwards. So you got to be willing to take no money for a long time, or little money, if you're going to start a business, be an entrepreneur, and build it up. You don't take anything out unless it's left over after you've paid all your employees, all of your bills, Uncle Sam included, which is a bill, so you don't get in a mess with the government. Then you might have a little bit of money to take out, and only then. So that's an important thing. You've got to be loyal to the employees so they trust and respect you and will work hard for you. And that's part of the thing. You've got to be persistent. You got to be willing to work hard. That's hard to know sometimes if a business isn't doing well. The way I always measure it is it getting more profitable every month? If it is, for maybe 10 out of 12 months of the year, you're going to make it if you have the money and the perseverance to stay there. If you're not moving it forward, then it's either A, got the wrong manager or owner, which could be you, which you have to admit that, or it's you don't have the money, the capital to persevere all the way to the end. So you have to be able to pull the plug if you have to pull the plug. And sometimes remember in life, when things are the darkest, in the morning, it's the darkest, right around the corner, the sun comes up and it becomes the brightest. So don't quit too soon if you can persevere, if you've got the right business, the right opportunity. You have to be willing, you have to be able to judge that. So those are some of the principles that I've learned in life. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of businesses, bought and sold them or created them. And a couple of them have lost me money. And generally when I lose money, it's a lot. And I've, you know, had to been able to learn from it, move on and do better next time.
What if you were to lose everything today? Could you make it back?
That's an interesting question. If I was younger, yes, I could make it back, because you've got to have a lot of energy.
Okay.
And as you get older, you don't quite have as much energy as you had when you're maybe 20 or 30 years younger. Yes, given enough time, I could. And I've thought about that before. What if I lose everything? I've always believed and felt I could start over and make it happen.
Why? What makes it so that you could do that? What is it inside of you that makes it so that you know that you could do that?
I think it was something I was born with. And I think any entrepreneur is born with that they just know they can do it again. Many people lose their businesses once or twice in life and start over a couple of times and still succeed, come back and succeed, and generally succeed on a higher level than before. So, you know, you just have to have faith in yourself and your abilities.
What's your biggest strength?
That's an interesting question. Never really thought about it before.
At your core, what makes you strong? What is it that gives you, not necessarily power, but what is at your core? What's that driving strength at your core?
I think probably if I had to just pick out one thing, I'd probably say it's my belief in God.
Yeah.
And knowing that I used to say this to myself too, as I was walking home from high school, many times I'd say, you know, myself and God make a majority. Everybody can be against me and I can still win.
Yeah.
And you have to have faith like that. And I think that gave me strength from my very young age when I was my first experience with God. And because I've always had that strong belief in him and know that he was there for me. And in the end, he would help protect me and make me successful.
Okay.
No matter what it was.
All right. So maybe two or three parting words for everybody on this episode. What would make a difference in their lives today? If they've input one thing into their lives today, what would make a difference for them?
I would say that if you don't have a personal relationship with God, there's where you have to start. You have to learn, just like I did, that he really exists. And he is there to love you and help you. If you can get that one thing, you're on your way to a successful life. Whether you become an entrepreneur or not, you will have a successful life if you make him your partner.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview. To find out more about Ken, visit kenbrailsford.com.